Christ came for all peoples, and the star leading the wise men we know has come to rest, but we also know that the story goes on. We've come to love the Christmas star so much. Even in the weeks before Christmas, you start seeing that star everywhere. It's on bulletin covers, Christmas cards. Just about everywhere you look, you see stars. Well, in the right way, obviously. A Christmas creche may be part of your home or even your church decorations, and quite often the star, like ours, is at the very top of the Christmas tree, the highest point in the living room. I remember years ago noticing for the first time that the starlight pictured on a lot of our Christmas cards was in the shape of a cross, a quiet reminder of what was to come, the silent night at what seems to be the end of the story. That was my first encounter with the possibility, if you think about it, that there can be something ominous about the Christmas star. And it's interesting to see that Matthew's gospel agrees. In the passage that we heard today, Matthew describes the encounter between the wise men and King Herod, and this is what he said. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." And then Matthew continues with these words. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. I can't help but wonder if King Herod, who of course gets so much very wrong, actually gets at least part of this news strangely right. Because at least he understands that this rising star is big news. And he also recognizes that it's not good news for him. Matthew is quick to note that this goes beyond what some have seen as Herod's chronic me, me, me-ism. And it's also somehow beyond Herod's brutal collusion with the forces of empire, with its use of violence to promote its particular interests. Because, as Matthew notes, Herod isn't the only one who looks at the star and sees something ominous hanging there. All Jerusalem agrees with him that the star is bad news. And we forget that for most of human history, most people would have agreed. The ancient historian Josephus noted that a star stood over the city of Jerusalem just before its fall in AD 70. And there were many who thought that the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD had been caused by a comet. Likewise, the appearance of a star in the sky over England in 1066, which is the date that all British people learn at school, just before the Battle of Hastings, and it was seen as a dark omen of what was to come. The French took over. But it's not necessarily a bad thing. I've got to be careful because, of course, I'm married to one now. So when we hear that Herod was frightened and all Jerusalem with him, it makes sense. Because when the heavens themselves begin to defy prediction, there's no telling what might happen. Who knows what other constellations might collapse? Constellations of power, of privilege, of the possible and the impossible, of what we can imagine and what we come to expect. If all that collapses, where will that leave us? Who among us can say for sure that it will be better? If everything changes, how will we know what to do? And that, of course, goes for us Christians too. We talk about praying and working for the new. For behold, it says in Scripture, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So much of our God talk points to the renovating power of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. But is that what we're really seeking? Sometimes when we speak of the new, I think what we, and I know I certainly sometimes mean, is something more along the lines, not so much of new, but something improved. So often it seems as if we pray only for a vaguely optimized version of the here and now. And the fact is, much of the time, even faithful people can't imagine a world that's much different from the one that we already have. And that's the point. Of course we can't, but God can. And God is longing to show us a vision for us and a vision for those that we love, for all people, for all creation and all time. God is longing to make us part of something that goes far beyond our shallow invocations of our hope in the new. So it seems important to name that as we begin a new year and we're in the season of New Year's resolutions. There's something lovely, even holy, about naming our hopes for our lives, even when they could be small hopes. I've seen people stop smoking on the strength of a New Year's resolution. I've seen somebody go from sitting on their couch to running a half marathon on the strength of a New Year's resolution. I've seen someone finish a long abandoned degree once again on the strength of a New Year's resolution. Now, these are all brave and holy acts in their way, but fundamentally, what makes them holy is that each one is not an end in itself, but it's a new beginning. And these steps towards a different future for each and every one of us, they may be small, they may be incremental, but they're not shallow, because they are the first steps towards the new, the first steps towards a future that perhaps we as dreamers can't quite see, but which we faithfully pursue just the same. And let's not also forget they require tremendous trust. Trust that the strength to see them through is there to be found. Trust that it will get easier. Trust that setbacks aren't the end of all our good intentions. We don't need to let them be. So learning that kind of trust can mean nothing short of learning to see the world in a whole new way, to see ourselves in a whole new way. It's all about learning to live in the light of that new star. And that's what Herod and Jerusalem began to see as they looked out into the night sky and saw a new star blazing just above them. That star was on a trajectory so broad that it was on none of their maps. And it showed them, to their horror, that God's vision for creation is on a trajectory so broad that what we think we know and what we think we understand about how things work is really just the beginning of what's out there. There is so much more in store for each one of us, and thank God there is. When Herod saw that star, all he could manage to see was bad news. But the point is that it was actually good news. Truth be told, it's the greatest news there is. So as this new year begins, 2018, as we move from a season of taking stock, and now we move into a season of taking action, we're invited to push beyond all the old rules and all the old expectations of what can and can't be, what should and shouldn't be. We're invited to acknowledge our fears, and it's important that we do, but we're invited even more urgently to push past them and to imagine what it might be like to live in the light of that new star. For the brokenhearted, the broken down, for all the ways that brokenness in all its forms can shrink our world until it has no room for anything but pain and worry, the light of that new star, Christ, reveals the pathway, a pathway back to the world. For victims of injustice and oppression, the victims of those subtle and not so subtle exclusions that some know well and others seem as if they can't see at all, the light of the new star is a reminder that change is going to come. For those who are afraid to attempt new things, too afraid of perhaps who might see, who might laugh, too afraid of the smirk or the diminishing comment or the raised eyebrow, the light of that star reveals a gallery of other faces, eager to cheer, eager to help, eager to walk with you on that spiritual journey. So whatever our fears may be, Epiphany, that's what we call today, Epiphany, it reminds us that we can live our lives in a new light. It reminds us that Jesus, the light of the world, has arrived in all its rule-breaking, table-turning glory, helping us to see all things and even ourselves in new ways. It truly is the greatest news that ever was, is, or shall be. Take heart, Jesus says, it is I. Have no fear. So may you and I always seek to live in the light of that promise. If there's one New Year's resolution we all need to make, it's that one. Amen.